Hello, welcome to Old and New Movie Review with your host, Jake Bennett. I am joined by the lovely Siri.
Hello. I'm not lovely, but I am Siri. She's half right.
I'm half right. That means I'm half wrong, too.
Yeah, you are.
Oh, when you get to it. So, we're going to be talking about two big holiday releases. Well, one is much bigger than the other, but the other one was quite substantial. It came out on Christmas Day. The first movie we're going to be talking about is Star Wars: The Rise of Skywalker, and then we will be, after a quick break, be talking about the movie Little Women, directed by Greta Gerwig. But first, let's talk about the least anticipated movie of the year, right?
Yeah, 100% the least. Like, no one even saw it. Happening, or no one cared, right?
Yeah, I agree. Like, well, why would anyone care about Star Wars?
No one cares about Star Wars.
Well, actually, I mean, like, kind of the
Star Wars. I never heard of it.
Well, the fan base is kind of gone.
Yeah, that Baby Yoda, man. Let's just talk about Baby Yoda.
Baby Yoda the whole time.
His mother, okay, is amazing, and I love her. And she bought everyone in his family a Baby Yoda shirt. And it's amazing. He's wearing it right now for this podcast, specifically, I think.
Yes, I am. I actually do have a Baby Yoda shirt. I guarantee that. But unfortunately, there was no Yoda in this movie, unlike The Last Jedi. Right. So we're going to go into totally spoilers, talk about the movie. So if you haven't seen The Last Jedi, shut this off.
Many comments, though.
Oh, so we have so much to talk.
If you have not seen it, but you have no interest in it.
Well, okay, I guess first you want to give non-spoiler thoughts. I liked it.
I thought it was very good, but I also want to say that you could tell that Disney took a hold of it.
They
it was
their
good,
finger
but it
in
definitely
the, in
had a, it had some Disney vibes.
Like they put their finger in the porridge.
Yeah, but they double dipped it. You know?
Oh, Disney
like,
double dipped
the finger in the porridge. They brought it up to their mouth, licked it, and put it back in.
Did you grow up with Star Wars? Like, did you watch it as a kid too? Like I did.
Yeah. No, it was one of my first movies.
Yeah, same. The original trilogy.
Made an effort before I got to watch anything that I wanted to watch at the time, which was you know I was like five.
Were your parents
so I really
seem like
watch Care Bears?
Were your parents seem like kind of science fiction nerds?
They are, and I love it. I was raised around Lord of the Rings and Star Wars and Star Trek and what's it called? Alien.
Oh, Alien's great too.
And my mom's favorite movie is Independence Day with Will Smith.
Well, she always falls asleep during it, right?
She does. She asks us all to watch it. She gets us all in the room. She's like, let's watch Independence Day. I love Independence Day. And halfway through, she's asleep, right? And, like, me and my dad look at each other and we're like, hey, you know, it's a great movie and all, but we didn't choose to be watching for the sixth time all the way through while Miss I Fall Asleep in the middle every time wants to finish it, you know? I love my mother.
Oh, that's so funny.
But
oh.
Not with Independence Day.
I'd be too. And I mean, I used to watch them on the VHS tapes that all the time. The Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi. As a kid, my favorite was Return of the Jedi, but now it's the first one, New Hope.
That one's very good. I really liked A New Hope. I really liked Return of the Jedi.
I
my
like
favorite's Revenge of the Sith,
ooh,
personally.
Prequel is your favorite.
Yeah.
But that is a smooth transition, because I'm going to ask, what are your thoughts on the controversial prequel trilogy that has lovers and haters?
That's hard to think about. The prequel trilogy, you said?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I really liked them. I liked the growth of the Anakin, whatever. But there is one character I think that we'd all like to live without, right?
J.J. Abrams. J.J. Binks.
Yeah, let's just get rid of J.J. Abrams, see what happens.
He was a bad character. There were some bad racist stereotypes. And
we're talking about Jar Jar.
Yeah, Jar Jar. And in Attack of the Clones, the horrible romance that was a part of it. But they were. I thought they were good movies in their own right. Personally,
I grew up
with them because, you know, we're a post-millennial, so
exactly.
We grew up with those movies, you know?
I think I would count as a millennial, but I don't know.
Well, millennials,
I know, technically
first year of post-millennials is 97.
Yeah, but the thing is, and hear me out,
okay.
I skipped the first grade. All of the people in my classes were millennials. 96 is all my brethren, right? I grew up with them my entire life. So, I live in their world.
So in a way, you were a generation of ahead of your class.
I was a generation ahead of my class, and I think that I still count as one because I am right around the brink. I'm 97, but every single person I've went to school with for my entire life has been like the end of the millennial tip. So I think that I was grandfathered in, and that I am a millennial. I am, like, the last millennial because I'm a millennial at heart, and also because socially I am.
That's a good point.
Socially, I am 100% millennial. Because if I had to sit with a bunch of Gen fucking Zs, which I do every day.
Yes.
I would cry.
I'd cry,
and
too.
And I do.
You cry about it, too.
No, but and I love my kids. Probably and sold any of you are listening, Caleb, if you ever figured out what a podcast is and found this, hi.
How does he not Shout know what out. A podcast is?
His exact words were, I've never heard of a podcast. I'm a redneck. His questions were great. I had to argue with him for like an hour. It was fantastic.
Dang it. These rednecks are taking over.
I love Caleb.
I mean, did your kids see The Rise of Skywalker?
Some have. I don't know which ones. I knew some were planning on it.
No, I gotta say, like, I could tell, like, your thoughts on the Disney Star Wars is very Disney-fied and trying to make it appeal to everybody.
But I enjoyed it. That's the thing. I think it was very Disney.
That's true. That's why I think I liked The Last Jedi the most, because it actually took risks compared to Force Awakens and Rise of Skywalker. It actually took turns, and then Disney didn't want that, and then they kind of brought J.J. Abrams back to do this. Now, The Force Awakens I really liked. I thought it was a good return to form. Last Jedi I like. Some things I'm not big on, but it's entertaining. And then we get to The Rise of Skywalker, the last of the Skywalker saga. Do you actually think it's the last movie?
I think that it's not. I think they're making way too much money off of it right now. They can't just get rid of Star Wars.
Yeah. I mean, logically, unless they just do TV shows. Stupid.
And also, I want to see what happens after the end of this movie to see how things progress a little bit.
There'll be a book written about it.
There were some really, really big events near the end, and I want to see where That's that may true. Lead.
I guess I'll let you start off with the thoughts you have on the movie and anything you want to get into specifically. Because I don't want to kind of go over the whole plot, but it's basically kind of just another chase movie with Kylo Ren. He finds Emperor Palpatine, which... Do they even explain why Palpatine's back?
No, they carefully leave that part out. But they say that all of his followers have been working up a long
Which
time.
I almost prefer they don't say what it is rather than have a bad explanation, honestly.
Exactly.
He doesn't need to be in the movie, again, it's because they killed Snoke in Last Jedi, but they don't need him, like... I'm glad they just had him be there, because otherwise it would have been just some ridiculous explanation or something like that. And I wasn't a fan of the character Snoke, so yeah. I'm not that upset about it, but... there's some big, kind of big reveals. I mean, there's big moments. There's so many cameos, too.
Oh, yeah, no, it was such... It was definitely... it felt like the last hurrah. Whenever you see a last movie or something...
Oh, yeah,
all
it's like Endgame. So Endgame, I think, did it better, but...
Yeah, it feels like all the original characters just come back in, you know?
Oh, yeah, they just make an appearance. And there's no explanation. I mean, like, Luke's a Force ghost, but why is Han Solo back? Is it a memory?
Like, I think his is just, like, a very touching moment, and it's all in his head. I think that it's very symbolic.
Yeah.
Like, in his mind, he's picturing him talking to his dad.
That is good. That is very good.
I think they were just trying to take an artistic approach. And if that is not the case, then Disney, I'm giving you way more credit than you deserve.
They just did it. How much did they have to pay Harrison Ford to come back?
Oh my god, he probably got more than everyone else for that one
game. I mean, for Force Awakens, he got paid, I think, $25 million. Like,
I ever had that, ever.
I know, like, but they had to bring a truck of cash to... make him do the movie, man. Yeah. I mean, and then they brought Lando back. True. Which was... he was barely... that was a cameo, basically.
That was 100% a cameo. He was just
like,
there
he was
for
not
the,
a big
the,
role.
The fan
he,
service,
oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, well, in the theater, everyone clapped when it happened. Yeah. Remember?
It made people very, very happy. I saw the movie twice, and I saw the reactions twice. Everyone
well, they clap
clapped.
When he's like, hey, it's easy to spot a Wookiee, and... all that stuff, and, I mean, the fan service, that's the problem with kind of the Disney Star Wars, is fan service is ridiculous.
Oh my
and
god.
I'm someone
the
who
little,
hates fan service.
The tiny, tiny Vader nods, they were definitely
all the time, service. All the time. It was like in Rogue reason. One when they had Vader literally just kill rebel soldiers at the end. That was just to appeal to people. And yeah. I'm like, why?
It's just to me, because that's the one they remember, that was the original, so... if you hear some of the breathing in the background, maybe, of one of the scenes, then
like,
maybe
I feel
you
like
get what you came for when you come to a Star Wars movie.
I feel like Endgame didn't have this many callbacks. Toy Story 4 didn't have this many callbacks. And that's saying something.
Oh my god, Toy Story 4 was... was a mess, and I loved it.
Oh, totally. It was a cash grab, but it was a very heartwarming cash grab.
Yeah.
And we will definitely. Well, with that, I don't know if that'll be closer to your best of the worst or worst of the year. Best of the year.
Really
worst.
Liked it.
Maybe like preview. Next week is best of the year, and the week after is worst movies of the year.
Yeah, and we may be tied. We may be entirely different. Maybe.
Oh, maybe.
His best is both Juan and my worst.
That could be possible. It could be like some art house film that.
Yeah, something that we just thought was just like awful and was just god awful writing, and you're like, you know, but I see what they're trying to do.
Oh man, it's the Envision.
Uh-huh.
So, what do you think they developed Kylo Ren well in this movie?
I really do. I think that I really liked how,
he went from Darth Millennial to actually, like, kind of complex.
Yeah, you know, yeah, Darth Millennial is our baby. But, no, I just like how he became emotionally complex, and when, spoiler alert, when he falls into, like, this thing, like, near the end, like, it was just, like, a ditch kind of thing. Like, a really, really high cliff ditch. He fell in. When he got back out and he had this, like, mind, that talk with his dad, in his mind, we think.
Yeah, that was a good moment, actually.
It was great. But he said something about how, no, Kylo Ren is dead, Ben is alive. And that was huge character development, and I like the concept that when he fell and was brought back to life, kind of, it was Kylo Ren that died, and Ben who survived.
That actually is clever, and, you know, Leia sacrifices herself for that, which was a good moment. And actually, that's a thing I think the movie did really well, is, like, they used the archival footage of Carrie Fisher, like, pretty well in the movie.
100%.
Like, it's crazy how they did it. Like, they used unused footage from Force Awakens, but they blended it in great. I was so impressed. They did the best job they could have with that. And I like what they did with her. I wish they could have more, but we know why they couldn't have. I liked Luke's cameo. He basically admitted he was right. Or he was wrong, I mean.
Yeah, he was like, you know, this was really stupid to hide out here. I was an idiot. Be better than me.
I know. It's basically like J.J. Abrams saying, like, Rian Johnson, whatever you wanted to do with the Last Jedi, I don't care. Like, and then, but that's basically what Rian Johnson did to J.J. with The Force Awakens. So, it just goes one way. And then, I mean, Emperor Palpatine.
Yeah, that was a wrinkly person, man.
Oh my god, he's like supposed to be like ancient. Like, he was old in Return of the Jedi, but like, he's supposed to be, like, old, old man.
Right? And I like the way that they tried to portray the fact that you don't want to see his face because he's so old. I'm so glad. Just showing his face from different angles.
In the shadows.
And lighting and shadows.
I love it when they,
like,
do that.
It just looked like different snapshots of his face.
It's like what they did with, like, Marlon Brando in Apocalypse Now, which the story behind that is, Marlon Brando came to the set with a shaved head and extremely overweight. So the director, Francis Ford Coppola, had this idea to just shoot close up from his face in the shadow so no one would notice. So, I mean, it's clever.
It's camouflage, and mm-hmm. It helps a lot with the character designers, I think, when they were actually
and
designing.
And you can see, like, how old
persona.
His fingers are, like, fusing to his skin.
Exactly.
It's so gross.
You only see him in glimpses, but they're terrifying.
Until the very end, where he gets, he, like, I don't know how
gets
it works.
Power.
He sucks them up. Like,
he
sucks
the
power.
Life force. So, throughout the movie, they have this concept where you can pass the life force from you into someone else, and it could heal them. So, like, there's this huge thing, but basically, like, the concept is that life can be transferred from vessel to vessel. So near the end, he pulls out their life and makes it his life because he was dying.
Oh, and then Kylo had Ben in him, and that's what defeated him, I guess.
Yeah, it's weird. I watched it twice.
It still doesn't make sense.
It makes more sense every time, but it's still there are questions.
I mean, how do you feel about? Do you think, like, the three movies match in the Disney trilogy? Because a lot of people are a big complaint people are saying is they didn't. It's obvious they didn't plan the whole movies out. They did it one by one, and that's kind of apparent. Like,
it's very true, but
I think they pulled it off.
They,
like,
did a good job with
because
it.
I think, like, the original trilogy wasn't as mapped out as they said it was. I think they kind of made some details up as they went, and I don't, I mean, I don't know if they're going to just do a whole other series with whole other characters, or...
I think they might work with the characters they have. I think Disney's made a very, very...
But they could,
they're good at getting attached, and they get you attached, and you stick with them.
That's true. That but there's so thing. Much you could do with, like, that universe, that you don't have to rely on Luke, Leia, Han, Solo.
I think that they could do a better one if they paced it somewhere else with just different people using the same concept of the Force. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe in part of another part of the galaxy, but... I think that Disney's going to keep working with the characters they developed, because that's yeah. what they do. They just like to build and build, and I mean, like that.
Yeah, this movie is already making, like, over $500 million. It's already made more than Solo did in its entire run at the box office, so, I mean, you want to go into just more deeper thoughts about the movie, because you said you had a lot to say.
So many thoughts, and you're gonna disagree with them all, and you're kind of gonna squint at me a little bit.
That's fine.
It's sort of, I have a lot of thoughts, though. I don't remember what I was about to say, though, so what were you talking about 5 seconds ago?
Okay, we're talking about basically Kylo Ren, the Emperor's role.
Oh, I remember.
I mean, the fan service.
That's kind of talking about... Continue, sorry.
Oh, no, you go ahead.
You go.
Okay, so, like, even the part where they go see the old Death Star, that's so, like, hey, remember this? Or they're in the Emperor's throne room. I mean, all that stuff works, but I liked it because it kind of just... I mean, this movie's kind of like a junk food movie. Like, I like it because it gives me exactly what I want instead of challenging
exactly.
me. But it's good at what it does. But I feel like movies like Infinity War and Endgame actually challenge you despite being blockbusters. Like, they actually have deep themes. Like, erasing half of the team is a pretty deep thing to do.
Oh, yeah. And that's a huge thing, for sure. Yeah.
And, you know, they... That whole thing about the language... It's on the... Oh, the knife. You gotta talk about the knife.
Okay. Oh, I remember what I was gonna say first.
Okay.
Before I even get into the knife, which is its own anger.
That's
of mine.
And that's another rant.
I'm gonna get into that rant really soon, but the rant that's on my mind that I remember I was gonna have.
Okay.
You were talking about how they were kind of, like, unconnected stories, mm-hmm. right? Well, they're the same story, but they're unconnected vibes and features. And I was thinking about this. I'm not going to lie. I got really stoned last night, right? And I was actually thinking about this after I saw Star Wars for the second time. And I was like, wait a second. They were very different. They were in totally different places. They didn't plan ahead. But I understand how that, as a writer, could be appealing. Because you would have, like, one story, and the viewers get the vibe and the idea and the portrayal of whatever you want in that one story, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good way to play with your viewers' emotions.
That's a good
so
idea.
So you start with one vibe, and then you bring the next vibe in. You totally are on the same page as the writers at that point. So if they're saying, oh, these characters are going to end up together, it's going to be more... it's going to be more effective and more legitimate. Like, everything will be a little bit more convincing, because that's what they wanted at the time. And if they had thrown something in new, then it would have actually taken the fans by surprise. They'd grow with the characters. They'd see the story as it is.
That's true. And also, it's different because, like, these Star Wars movies are made by people who, like look at Star Wars and admire it. While, like, all the other ones were either directed by George Lucas or he was a part of it in some way. These movies are different in that they're looking at it from, like, an outsider's point of view.
Exactly.
And it's what they want to do with Star Wars. I think all these, like, people that directed these movies love it. I mean, even Rian Johnson, even if he took it in a different direction. Yeah. But that's a very good point. And I think, I mean, I don't know if it's, like, 20 years from now, how are these movies going to be looked at?
I think 20 years from now, they're going to do what we didn't and watch them from, like, chronologically starting at the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
Because we've watched them all out of order.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, and it's funny, because, like, you think about, like, how much more respected the prequels are now that, like, remember, everyone used to trash on them, and now they're kind of held in a much higher regard.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Like, I feel like that might happen with these movies, because you have, like, the whiny fanboys that complain about how Star Wars is never what it used to be, and they just don't like change, man. That's the problem.
Yeah. And you know, this kind of reminds me a little bit of that quote by John Morrigan when he was trying to pass the marijuana bill in Florida, and saying that it was legal, and like all of these old people were like, no, and they totally canceled it. He's like, literally just like, you know, it's okay. I'm not going to be upset about it. I'll come back in 5 years and everyone who opposed me will be dead. And we'll pass. And that's what happened. So, It reminds me of that, man. Because, like, it's just like, hey, you know, all of the people with their weird convictions will be gone. Or at least in a different part of the world, and people will be watching it with new eyes.
Yeah, that's a very good way to put it. And I also...
become more popular over time.
Yeah, exactly. And I also, like... yeah, and that's actually a very good way to put it. And I like the prequels. Even Empire Strikes Back wasn't that greatly received when it came out, and now it's regarded as the best in the saga.
Mm-hmm.
But I want you to go on this knife rant. But for explain the plot point, and then like kind of go into your rant about it.
You're just wanting me to rant.
I do.
So because... this boy, he got me stoned, right? And now he's just trying to fry a rant out of
about the knife.
About the knife.
Because she was talking about it earlier today, and I want to hear like the full version.
There's so much that bothers me about this knife. And there's not a whole lot more except for some more fluff of anger.
Well, it's like it's the Sith is written on the knife and they need to translate it.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
So, yeah. So basically they find this knife that's supposed to help them to the Wayfinder, which makes me think, what the fuck, isn't the knife like the Wayfinder in that kind of sense?
Yeah, I was actually kind of confused with the whole concept of the Wayfinder. I thought it was ridiculous.
It's ridiculous, but like, essentially, if you haven't seen it and you don't plan on it, the Wayfinder is a way of finding this kind of, like, this world that no one really, like, has on any maps. Like, the Sith kind of, I feel like it's just the Sith place, right?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I don't know what it's called.
I can't even remember what it was called either, but it was, like, a dark planet. It's the one, I don't know. I could look at the name of it. But I'm not gonna do that. I think it's on the. It's called Exgogol. Whatever. It's some Star Wars
thing. The E thing.
Yeah, the E thing. It's ridiculous. That was a plot point. I mean, I don't even know where they got that idea. There could have been any other way to find it out. I just don't. He has a Wayfinder in the beginning. I still don't understand, like, this whole concept of the Wayfinder.
I think that it just helps them find it. And it's just one of those badly thought out Disney things that they just throw in to make it smoother, but the Wayfinder to the Wayfinder was the knife.
I mean, there were some good highlights. I mean, that lightsaber fight they had in, like, the water planet, that was good.
Oh, that was badass. Yeah,
that was probably the best scene in the movie.
I liked how she got Leia's saber. That was cool, too. Like, Leia thought it all out ahead of time.
Well, what do you think of the celebration that they went to? That was actually a pretty cool scene, too.
It was neat. I felt like it was a payment of respect to just, like, all these worldly traditions, you know?
Yeah, I dug it. Things I didn't dig.
Okay, go on.
Okay, like, the part where they think she killed Chewie, but then you immediately find out Chewie's alive. Like, that scene didn't work at all for me, because, like... Okay, if they thought they killed Chewie, that's one thing, but don't show he's alive immediately after. Can you at least give...
play with us, you know?
Can you give the audience some disbelief? But nope, it's like, oh, Chewbacca's alive. You know, we can't do anything else. I'm like, what the heck are you talking about?
And like, it was ridiculous. And, like, that whole thing, like, Chris was like, what the... every once in a while when we were watching the movie together last night, he would just be like... And it was every time when I got mad when I first watched it, and I thought it was hilarious. Like, with the knife, he was like...
And that wasn't even the first time we watched it.
He, like, waved his arms around, like, what?
I know, and it's, like, crazy when you think about the fact that... they kind of just put this, like, they don't, they it's almost like they're playing with the audience's emotions, you know? And, I mean, there's a lot of cringy moments like that. I mean, and another problem, I liked that Lando was in it, but he just didn't do anything. He was just there to,
He was there, literally, I feel like his purpose there was to take up oxygen in their ships. I love Lando. I do.
Yeah, he's cool, yeah.
Yeah, but it was good to see him. He didn't belong in that ship if he wasn't gonna help.
It's like the Palpatine, you know. It's good to see him, but is he needed? I don't know.
I liked the presence of Palpatine. I think he caused a good dark side person.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the idea that at the very end, he almost wins.
That actually was a good
idea. That made me very happy. I was thinking that maybe... Star Wars would end on a much darker note with Disney.
Like, imagine
I'm
if
excited.
Imagine if Return of the Jedi ended and Luke went to the dark side.
Exactly. I wanted to see fucking both of them die, him to rise, to black out the sun and whatever is out there, all of the little ships with his weird electricity thing, and to just bring the eliminate Jedi's forever, and then the next saga of the Star Wars franchise would all be just like living in a totally dark age. Whoa. I think it could have been really good if they had gone that
way. It would have been deep.
It would have been deep and very well done. Like, people would be like, what the fuck? I'm excited for this next one.
But instead, they kind of the opposite approach.
They gave us a little Disney bow at the end, tying it all together in a nice knot.
Oh, boy. I mean, the big plot, so-called plot twist in this movie is Rey's a Palpatine. I thought that was really, like, kind of phoned in, honestly.
I think it was phoned in, but also...
But I kind of like the concept. Part of,
like, earlier, like, we all thought that she was a Skywalker.
Well, it is like a play on your expectations.
Exactly. I would have, making the movies with different expectations.
I would have preferred if they did what Last Jedi established, their parents were nobody, and like she wasn't related to anybody. But of course, they don't do that because that would be kind of clever.
Yeah, and I like that the Rise of Skywalker was, you could think of it as her, like, just becoming what she calls Rey Skywalker at the end, but I like to think that it's just because Kylo Ren became Ben again.
Oh, yeah.
And he rose. He literally rose from that, like, that cliff thing. What would they call that? A trench?
Yeah, I think so.
He rose from the trench.
Oh, yeah, it was a trench.
Literally crawled himself out right when you think there's no hope at all. And I think of that as the Rise of Skywalker, because right after he rises, he's Ben.
That is a good way to be. I mean, also, I didn't like that kiss. That was probably
oh my God,
that was the part rooting. Everyone freaked out at in the theater. They
I
went swear nuts.
I disagree with you. Okay, I've spent three movies waiting for them to get together. Okay,
I don't know. I think my main issue with it is that he dies immediately after.
That pissed me off. Like, that was either Romeo and Juliet bullshit.
But I can't wait. I don't know why, to me, it came out of left field. I don't know why.
I mean, wanted her to die and for him to live.
That would have been more clever. But it was crazy cool. When they just kissed. Oh, my God. It was nuts. Oh, I mean, it was good.
I kept whispering to Juan, they're going to kiss. He's like, no, they're not. And I'm like, they're going to kiss. And he's like, dude, shut up. And then I'm like, they're going to kiss. And then he kisses. And he's like, what? I'm done.
He's done with Star Wars. He's done with Star Wars when it's the last movie. Exactly. So-called last movie. And then, I mean, They thought it was Finn. Like, Force Awakens kind of established them as a love interest, and then Last Jedi, Finn had Rose, and they kind of established Kylo with Rey. And then the third one was they gave Finn
attention.
I know, and then they gave Finn an even another love interest.
And he matched her. They matched her with the African American woman, which actually bothers me. Like, every time there's a movie and there's two Hispanic kids, they end up together. Or there's two black guys, they always end up together.
There's a South Park episode that makes fun of that. Cartman wants the black girl comes to South Park, and Cartman tries to hook her up with Token, but Kyle likes her and he doesn't want her. He wants to be with her.
I remember that. It bothers me.
I dislike seeing when, kind of what you said, it's always like a black person with a black person. Like, yeah, you don't see multiracial relationships a lot.
Another thing, kind of on that.
One example
track.
Was King of Queens.
Oh, yeah, you're not wrong. You're not wrong, actually. Yeah. Damn. Okay.
He had a black best friend. Captain Underpants, too. Hey, Arnold.
Yeah.
Like, he had a black best friend.
Exactly. It sort of seems to be how things are. Like, there's never that white best friend, you know? And I'm okay with that, but, like, I'm not at the same time. And what bothers me about, also at the end of The Last Jedi. Not The Last Jedi. What am I doing?
Rise of Skywalker.
Rise of Skywalker. God. So, at the very end of that, there was this woman who was Finn's love interest, and she was basically like, no, I don't know who my father is. And then fucking, what's his name?
Finn?
No.
Poe?
No.
Huh.
Fuck, we were just talking about him. He was major fan service.
Oh, Lando.
Lando, right.
Oh, I do remember that.
Lando was like, she was like, I don't know where I come from. He's like, want to find out? But they both looked at each other in like in a way where it was like, are you my daughter kind of thing? And I'm thinking, because they're both black?
Oh, that's terrible.
It was bullshit. I'm like, I know what they're going for, but they just executed it so badly poorly. That if it just looks like it's not what they're going for at all. Oh, like, yeah. You must be my daughter. You're the other black one here, right? Like, it seemed to be what it felt
either,
like.
her dad's either Lando or Mace Windu.
Right? It's got to be one or the other.
Yeah, I mean, the only two black guys, the old black guys in the galaxy.
Exactly. So it must be one of them. Well, you want to find out?
It is funny, like, with other. Every Star Wars trilogy, there's always just one black guy. Like, there's Lando the first one, Mace Windu in the second, and then the third one is Finn.
They're filling a quota, it feels like.
Yeah, I know. It's so, like...
Well, I love Finn. I wish he had more to do.
I know. He was so set up so well in Force Awakens.
A great character. And they just kind of, like, put him on the wayside this time around in favor
and
of
last
the pretty...
Time too.
The pretty woman.
And last time, too.
Yeah. You're right.
But, what do you think of Poe in general?
Poe. Which one was Poe again?
The scoundrel one, Oscar Isaac. The one who flies the Millennium Falcon.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm so bad with names. I know faces, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, I liked him, actually. He had a Solo kind of vibe, but not in the way... He reminds me a little bit of, John Jackson, I think his name is.
Who?
Jack Johnson.
Like the singer?
No. The one from, New Girl.
Oh, Jake Johnson.
Jake Johnson.
Oh, I hate Jake Johnson. He's much better than Jake Johnson.
He reminded me a little bit of Jake Johnson.
I can see what you mean, though. They kind of look like each other.
They have the same turtle eyes.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. that love interest he had in the movie was not developed at all, though.
Oh, my God. No, it wasn't developed. It's just like, who is this woman who I keep trying to sleep with? Oh, let's run away together. Like, what are you talking about?
And then, like, the middle part was very good, but I felt like the ending where they defeat the Empire was so rushed.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it felt like it was just over, like a snap, and it was over. And another thing, you find out General Hux is a traitor. That was kind of out of left field, too.
Yeah, it's like, where's the lead up on that? I would like to have some clues to put this together, but he's just always, like, way over there. Like, you wouldn't have expected it, unless he was overcompensating.
Maybe. And just the fact that he hated Kylo Ren. Hated Kylo Ren, and I don't know why.
Yeah, and I think I could see why. He's basically signed up to be on this, like, dark force of the world.
He's like second banana, no matter what.
He's second banana, no matter what, and Kylo Ren always had kind of like a toddler whose, like, lollipop was taken away kind of vibe. Like, he was just
like a rich kid.
An angsty little rich kid. And this angsty little rich kid gets all of the credit because he's the bad guy. And you're always taking orders from him. And you're like, fuck this guy.
And then he just dies, though.
Exactly. That was bullshit. It's like, they immediately were like, this is the one. This is the spot.
Yeah, you just develop a character trait and then it just goes away.
It's like, I could have had more than that. But I guess that's how life works, you know?
That's deep, man.
Yeah, you get to know somebody, pow, they could die.
I mean, the ending was rushed. The stuff with Rey and the Emperor was very well done, but I felt the other aspects were not as well utilized, like the actual battle. And, oh my goodness. It just kind of felt it came out of nowhere. And there's a bunch of plot holes that I don't really care about. Like, how come they never used the Emperor's Star Destroyers till now? Da 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 da. But.
Oh, yeah. Like, they could have used that without him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But the ending was satisfying.
It was. I think I got both bites.
I mean...
Sorry.
The ending was satisfying, like...
I was happy with it. It seemed like a hurrah, you know? The last hurrah.
Yeah, exactly. And I like how she chose the name Skywalker. It wasn't through lineage, it's because she wanted to have that last name. I thought that was clever, actually. She's a Skywalker, not by birth. More through adoption. Which I thought was a good touch.
Yeah, and like the little Force ghosts were right over there, you know.
Yeah, and they were de-aging, like, hey. In a flashback too with Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher when they're on Endor.
That was pretty badass. I was so happy to see that.
It's crazy that they do that. The Irishman, which I have a poster of in my room, that probably did de-aging the best, along with Captain Marvel. But this was still really good. Blade Runner 2049 did it really good too. Well, it's funny, like, this is the big new trend in Hollywood. Gemini Man was not as good. Well, it was good, but all the scenes were in the dark. So, not to show the bad CGI.
I haven't seen it, but I like the way that they did that, just to hide it. But it's like, you know we suck, let's just make it like, look like we knew what we were doing.
And there's one scene in broad daylight that looks terrible in that movie, but I digress. So, I kind of want to... We'll do a final thoughts of The Rise of Skywalker. I liked the movie. I haven't rewatched it yet, like Siri did, but I don't know if I like it more, if I would like it more or less on a second viewing, but I like it now. I think it's entertaining. It felt the most like Star Wars. I mean, it felt jumbled, but...
Jumbled, but it felt more like home, you know?
Yeah, it felt... It had the right tone, you know?
Exactly. I really liked the tone that they had, and it felt like just like a genuine... genuine Star Wars movie, which was great. I'm glad that Disney got back to its roots a little bit, which is hell to say because of that fucking knife. Because, like, it was the same shape
that was like
of the island that it was pointing to. She was just like, what do I do now? Where do I go? And she's like, oh, this thing comes out at the bottom. She held it up, and with the curve at the bottom and the silhouette at the very bottom of the knife, like, the shape of the knife, it lined up perfectly with the skyline of the
that was ridiculous.
The landscape
I can't
where
they're
supposed to go.
Terrible,
literally,
but,
like, from that exact angle, they knew she would be at that exact angle, so they made it that angle, and they knew she'd hold it up and be like, this matches, let's go.
So, yeah, I'd say go see it, recommend it.
Very good. It was very good, but it was
Did you like it more on the second viewing or less?
I liked it more, honestly, because I saw a lot of things that I missed, and the story came together more in my mind. It was everywhere
you know
a little
it's
bit.
It's gonna be, so it, like, you're prepared for it more.
I knew what it was gonna be, and I listened to more to the little details that if you didn't know the main story, you would have missed. Like, it didn't all make sense the first day, but the second day, it clicked.
Mm-hmm.
I got the whole movie.
That's very true. I liked the movie, too.
Good.
You don't like 4-star rankings, so I'll do... what would you give it out of 5 stars?
Out of 5 stars? It really depends.
For me, it's a 4.
I think I'd give it a 4, yeah.
Like, it's not, like, fantastic, but it's pretty good. Like,
I enjoyed it unironically. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Unlike, like, some of
I
the
noticed
prequels.
The Disney. Yeah, the prequels could get rid of a character, too.
A racist character.
Maybe.
Oh, boy. Get stoned and watch The Phantom Menace.
Do it.
Well, that was Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker. Go see it if you didn't already. Everyone, I mean, probably you did see it because it's, like, such a big release. But,
Feel the tension.
We will be right back with our review of Little Women.
All right. Sounds good.
We are back on the show, and this time we are talking about a... little movie called Little Women.
Hey!
Based on the famous novel by Louisa May Alcott.
You may have heard of it.
The 8th adaptation. It's directed by Greta Gerwig, her second movie after Lady Bird.
It was so well done, though. For being, like, the 10th adaptation.
I know,
right? Well,
it's like
done.
Christmas Carol, man. And I think the really good cast, Saoirse Ronan, Emma Watson, Flora Pern, Laura Dern, Timothy Chalamet, Meryl Streep, you know, and a series of good guests to have on this episode, because she's actually pretty familiar with the source material, if you want to say what you know.
Well, when I was a kid, it started out with this book that really doesn't matter very much. I'm going to skim over it a little bit, but it's called Mother-Daughter Book Club, and it was very heavily influenced because they went to a book club, and they kind of, like, they were reading Little Women, and it kept going into depth on what was happening in that book, and, like, how it related to their lives, and it was really, really well done. But that's all I'm going to say about that. It just kind of inspired me to read the book, because I'm like, this sounds really fucking good, man. So, like, I was, like, maybe the 5th grade, walking around reading Little Women, and it was great. It was a great book. I love it. And I haven't read it since then. So this whole thing was kind of, like, really refreshing to me, because I own it, but I haven't read it since the 5th grade, because I'm always trying to read something new, and I need to go back and read it.
What's going to inspire you to read it again?
I forgot it was one of my favorites.
I know, and, like, I mentioned that, like, they're making a movie about it. You were like, oh, what? I didn't even know about that.
Yeah, I had no idea.
But it's, like, I had pretty... I knew it was probably going to be good, but, like, it's just, like, a little movie playing around the holidays that... It's not, like, a block... Remember, like, I remember when we saw Knives Out, we talked about this, like, they don't make movies like that anymore. Well, like, this is, like, another thing. It's just, like, a little movie about these women living in the period at the time. And I think that's really nice.
It was very, very, it was sweet. It's not one of those kind of stingy, like... dusty old, like, classics made into a movie, right? It was always a very good book. It had a very
its own adaptation. Like,
yeah.
It's not looking at another version.
Exactly. And it was very well done, and you look at it and you're like, wow, these people in the past were just like me. They weren't just like these awful, like,
humans. Oh my goodness, the characters in this movie are too real. They relate so...
They're way too real.
They relate so much. I mean, like... I'm kind of going the opposite direction.
I'm going to mainly talk about the characters, because I feel like they're kind of the...
Yeah.
And I'm going to talk about the four sisters first, and then kind of the family, and then we'll step from there. And then there's Sorsha, played by Jo, who is like an author slash teacher. She has her thing going on.
She was always kind of referred to just as the tomboy whenever anyone talks about Little Women. And she is, but she's so like...
She's much more complex than that.
She's much more complex.
Like, tomboy is such a lame...
It's a lame term, and I've always hated it, but that's the word I always hear my grandma use. I hate that term, too,
because, like, tomboy reflects, like, oh, just because you're into, like, stuff like writing and poetry, you're not feminine, and that's dumb.
Exactly. It's so dumb, and I was always frustrated at that, and it made me frustrated at her in association, because I hate the word. But if you get to, like, watch this movie or read the book, and you get to know Jo, she is just, like... She is so complex, and I love her. She was easily my favorite character.
Mine, too. I mean, I love Saoirse Ronan. I think she's an amazing actress.
Yep.
I mean, she's love her.
She's a great writer.
What?
She's a great writer, too. Not the woman, but the character.
Oh, yeah. Well, Saoirse Ronan, the actress, she's Irish, and her Irish accent's awesome. But I think the second best was probably Emma Watson as Meg. She was amazing in the movie.
She did a great job. Like, she was able
to... You don't even see Emma Watson. I mean, she fit the image perfectly.
Exactly. She's not Emma Watson. You watch her, you are totally convinced that she's this other woman. Like, usually in my mind, I'm thinking, hey, Emma's going over here.
But in my mind,
I was like, hey, look at her. She's totally just part of the story. She's not Emma Watson at all.
I know, and she is, those are the two best characters in the movie, I feel. They, do very well. They're very appealing.
Yeah.
And then you have Amy, who is, you less are conflicted. Appealing.
I'm conflicted about Amy. I think Amy is a very well-thought-out character with some positive characteristics, but I just lose them in all the anger that I have at her for all of the things that she does. She's a great artist, and she's a sweet girl, and she... is very pretty, and she knows French.
But when she burns her papers...
I was so mad.
I can't believe she did that, and then she didn't. She did forgive her until she almost died.
Exactly, and her fucking, like, her reasoning for it, like, where you should think she's gonna say, like, you know, I'm sorry, I burnt the papers, I wanted to get back.
Like, I wanted to hurt you.
Yeah, but she was literally just saying, like, you know... I would have burnt a dress, but I knew you didn't care about dresses. I had to hurt you, so I had to burn the papers. I didn't mean to, but I had to hurt you. That's not an apology.
Oh, that's a backhanded apology.
It's not even an apology. It's just like, this is what I knew would hurt most, I did it. It's just letting you know that you really wanted to hurt her. Exactly. And it's like, what the fuck?
The theater. And then the last sister is Beth.
I think I was bit by a spider.
Oh.
The other day. Sorry, I've been scratching this for like 2 days, and I'm just looking at it now. Continue.
Oh, Beth. Beth.
Oh, Beth.
She was sweet. I like that she was the quiet one, but she always, like, she was a good...
Yeah, I like that, the neighbor was so, like, paternal towards her.
Oh, Chris Cooper what was his name in the movie?
Mr.
Lawrence.
Mr. Lawrence, yeah. Because
he's, Lori's dad.
That's how you remember.
Yeah, that's the only reason I remember.
But, like, he had lost a daughter, and, like, she had filled this hole in his life. And then he lost her, too. But he gave her piano.
That was so sad when she died. And it was very clever if they do the dream sequence, and then they do it again, and it's set that way. Like, I actually, I didn't realize it. And I thought the movie was very good at blending the flashbacks with the current narrative. Like, it was very seamless, I felt, how it went back and forth.
Definitely. You knew it was a flashback. You knew it was, and it wasn't, like, because of a weird tint. It just felt right.
Yeah, yeah. They only have one, like, subtitle, like, 7 years earlier. Everything else is natural.
Yeah.
And I think that's just to begin, like, the start of the timeline. And I think I also like the supporting characters, like Laura Dern as their mom, and then Meryl Streep's really good as the grumpy aunt, I think.
She did a great job as her
fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. And there were so many good parts about this movie. It was very good. Probably one of the best of 2019. It's so funny, like, one of the best movies of the year came out so late in the year, but...
Yeah, and it's so identifiable. Because it was such a good book. I think, honestly, the fact that it was just so true to the book was just part of the reason why it was so charming, because the book was charming, and you get to see it, like, the way it was supposed to be, I feel like.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I mean, there's so many highlights, because you kind of have Jo trying to become a writer. This is kind of the first thing we noticed when we were watching the movie. It was
the guy, he just is, this is not good.
This is he's not like, good. This is bad. It's bad. It's bad. I don't
like it. It's not even constructive criticism. He's just being a dick.
And he literally was like, you're a good writer, and so I can tell you this. But this is bad. Like, I know that you can do better, and that's why I'm telling you, because this is just bad. He never tells you anything about what specifically was wrong with what she wrote. He just said it was bad. And of course she's going to feel self-conscious about that. Of course she's going to get in a funk if you just say it's bad. Nothing is specific.
No reasons.
Yeah. No reasons. Just like, the writing must be bad at that point. If there's no reason, it's just the writing.
It was lame. Oh, I think that's what it was meant to be. Like, he just, like, he's like, oh, I'm not dealing with this. I'm out of here, you know?
Exactly.
And she had a really good arc, just her being a teacher and her just kind of finding her way. I like that she played against convention. She didn't get married at the end.
Ah, that was great. I loved that. And she, like, tried to, like, at the very end when she was writing the book, because it was so fucking meta, she was writing this movie.
Oh, yeah, she was writing the book Little Women and the movie Little Women.
Yep. And it's so meta. And, like, I love just how at the end she was just, like, haggling him. He was like, she was like, you know, I'll make her get married if you raise my pay, kind of thing. Like, my cut is now 10%, right?
That was clever. Like, if you're gonna sell out, sell it for more money.
Exactly. Which is a shitty, shitty message. But definitely try to raise your wage if you sell out.
Well, and I think, I want to kind of, like, it's also, like, I mean, everyone has a really good... I mean, I feel like everyone has kind of a whole... You see, like, everyone's kind of arc, their conclusion, their... Just their pathway. All of them have an interesting path, I feel. One's a writer, one kind of becomes obsessed with greed, and then kind of... She loses that.
And she's happy with just, like, a really simple, poor life because of the man she's with, which is totally different.
And I like... Yeah, she's actually with someone she loved well... It was a different, like Amy kind of picked someone just because they were there, and then Joe doesn't want to get married. Like, right. They each have kind of different perspectives, and again...
Yeah, I loved it. They're different people, different personalities, different interests. Amy was a great painter. She's fantastic, but she was just about to give that up, which pisses me off a little bit.
Oh, that was terrible.
She's just like, I'm going to give it up. I don't need it.
I mean, it's frustrating, but it's real.
Yeah.
And I think that leads to a smooth transition. Talk about the cringiest character in the movie, Lori.
It may be an unpopular opinion, though, because I think that he was trying to play on the younger girl's kind of, like, needs for a certain kind of guy. But it made us cringe so hard because they made him realistic.
We know people like this. He's one of those stereotypical white men who is like, oh, man, we deserve to be together. And he's like, don't get married and all this stuff. And he even says stuff like, I'd rather be dead. Like, oh, he just seems like...
Very similar. It's so specific. And we were like...
Yeah, I think we looked at each other in the theater like, oh, we've known, like, people like this.
We were like... This asshole.
You're Joe in back then.
Right.
I was so mad,
I feel like. I'm Joe, guys.
But that made the character, like, so much more real, because it's like, you know people like that. But he said all the things, too. He said
all of the things, so...
He did all the threats, all the guilting. He was a real character. But, I mean, it's funny, I kind of felt the movie, like, portrays him in a better light at the beginning, and slowly you start to see his digression and being just desperate to...
Exactly.
Sleep with any of these sisters, you know?
Anyone, really. He hit on the Aunt Marge, right, for a while?
He did!
Yeah.
Well, he like, gave her a dance. He, like, tried to go around her and dance around her or something like that.
Yeah. But, like, it felt like it was nice to see him kind of go downhill, because he was a good guy. He was. But he just had so many... He was horny, and he didn't really care about the woman's perspective.
Oh, no. He thought, like, because he liked them, they should date him.
Exactly.
Which is how most rich... Yeah, exactly. That's how most single white men think. Exactly.
But it was persistent throughout the whole movie, though.
Like, yeah, but it was, like, you don't notice it until it really comes to light in that one scene.
Exactly.
But it's always been there.
It started, like... There were a lot of issues, but, like, first he was, like, you know... Not chronologically, but first in the movie, he was like, hey, marry me to Amy. Right, Amy?
Yeah.
So he was like, hey, you know, marry me. Don't marry this guy.
Oh, yeah.
You're not in love with him. I love you. And she was like, well, shit, you're being a jerk right now. You're being mean.
Well, and she had a really good speech. She's like, I don't, like, you don't understand my, she's like, I have to marry someone to actually, like, financially support myself. You have no clue what it's like, and she tells him off, and then
she's like, I don't marry for love. I'm marrying because I need it.
Because, you, like they said in the movie, you can only be an actress or a prostitute to make money as a woman back then.
Exactly. Which and sucks. Joe was against all of that. Joe was like, you know what?
She was a good feminist, man.
She her whole thing was like, I'm not even looking to find love. I'm not looking to find love. I'm not looking to find any. But that was a great line she said
at the end. It was, I don't want any of that stuff, but I'm so lonely. Like, that was so good. Such a good line.
Cause felt
that,
it.
Yeah, because she said good that way. Like, you want to reject it, but you also want to fill a void. And I like that part, too. And I like the fact that Amy kind of, like, her marriage doesn't work out, or she doesn't marry him.
She doesn't marry him.
And she, like, comes back, and Lori's there. She's like, oh, you have no right to ask about it. Like, don't even go there. And then he just kisses her.
It was just...
And he did kind of get jealous at the end when Joe went for the other girl.
He was like, I never thought I would see the day when I would be drawing a carriage to help Joe chase another man.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. It was like, so shit. Weird. But, like, it was funny, like, in that one big scene, like, she friend-zoned him so hard. Like, oh, I'm too good for you, stuff like that. It was funny.
It was great, but it was so cringy.
Oh, yeah. But it was a really well-acted scene.
So well done, which is why we cringe.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That was what because they were going for.
Oh, exactly. They want to, like, be... And again, it's kind of like with that point you brought earlier. It kind of shows the parallels between now and how it relates back then, too. Yeah. And I think and then Meg has her own arc. She kind of falls into her way. She doesn't mind. She's being with someone she loves. That's what she wants.
Exactly.
And, like, and Joe doesn't want to accept that, and then she kind of does. Like, she kind of comes back around on it. And then with Beth, her, like, main love is music. Like, she plays the piano and such. Yeah. And then, unfortunately, she gets an illness.
She gets
dies.
A scarlet fever.
Yes. Yeah, which is very sad.
Yeah. So sad.
And there was the way they revealed was, like, it was a dream at first, and then they show what happened, and she doesn't make it. And that was very clever to do in the movie. Yeah.
Like, the dream, you're just like, oh, everything's okay. And they make it very seamless. So you think, oh, this is how things are. And then, like, suddenly they show it again, but this time she goes downstairs and her mother's just crying in a chair, like, you definitely know what happened there, and you feel all of the pain that she was feeling after she realized it wasn't a dream. I mean, it was a dream, and the real life was much worse.
Oh, yeah. And I also love the fact that it never goes in the direction you'll think it go. Like that big scene with Lori and Joe, and then she's like, oh, if he marries again, I'll say yes. And then the mom's like, do you love him? And then he's like, he loves me, and then that's not what he asked. Like, it's not going with what you expect. It's going with what an actual person would say.
Exactly. It's like, you know, it doesn't matter if he loves you. It doesn't matter if he can fill this void and keep you from being lonely. You don't love him, so don't tell yourself that you
like,
want him to
like
marry
like, don't marry
you.
Just for his money.
Exactly.
Because that's what she was thinking about, too. Being financially stable.
Oh, she was thinking about that, and also she was thinking just like, hey, you know, I don't want to be alone anymore. My sister just died, blah, blah, blah. So.
Yeah, it was insane how they dealt with that. So well done. Mm-hmm. And, oh, man, it was so good. And I just love the one thing I love about the movies, they had such good chemistry, the four sisters.
You could feel it. You could feel it through the screen, which is amazing.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't feel like acting. It feels like they actually are sisters and they love each other. It's so good.
Yeah. And just, like, the whole movie has these flashback sequences, and some are just, like, pleasant memories of them.
And
or
the
maybe
other
not
one,
so pleasant. Like, they get, like, their foot stuck in the cement because they're trying to make a mold of their feet.
Oh, that was ridiculous. Oh, yeah,
so
she wanted... Who'd she want to give that to?
Wanted to give it to,
Was it
Lori?
Oh, my God.
And they were in dating, guys. This was a flashback, so... It was before the whole marriage fiasco.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, and then
she was like, I have the smallest feet of all of my sisters. I'm going to give Lori a mold of it.
That's so weird. And then she, like, she changes her mind about marrying him, and then it turns out he went to Europe.
Right. I was like, what the fuck?
Well, probably, I actually like what you said. It shows both good memories and bad memories. It just shows them all. It's kind of like a look back at, like, when you were growing up. Mm-hmm. It was kind of like the scene where, like, there's the one scene where they give the Christmas dinner to the poor family, and then the rich Lori's family, gives them a grand, dinner. I thought that was really cool.
It was really cool. And I like how, like, the first thing that happened when they walked in, she was just like, is it fairies?
That was a good line. And then they also show that other flashback with she wants to go to the theater with them. Amy wants to go to the theater with Joe and it's Joe, Meg, and Lori. And they say no, and then she burns her novel, the pages of her novel.
All of the novel, like, and keep in mind that like this is way in the past. They don't have copies. They have one copy of all the things that she wrote, and they were in her drawer. And this asshole of a sister goes in and she's like, okay, so one thing that'll hurt her, I'll burn all of it, all of her life's work, it's fine.
Yeah, like, she was working on this book for such a long time.
She never apologized. I'm so mad about that.
Yeah, she gave like it was ridiculous. And then like the movie they like don't forgive each other, and then she tries to meet up with the sister. She kind of ignores her, then she almost drowns in the ice skating pond, and then she saves her, then they make up.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that is kind of like obligatory.
But it was forgiveness. It was a good way to do it.
It's like a good way of doing it, because it didn't solve their issues. It just made them okay.
Yeah, like, of course you're gonna save her. It's your sister.
It's like forgive and don't forget kind of thing. So she didn't actually forgive her for what she did, but she was like, let's push it aside because my love is more important right now.
But that she, I mean, that's the thing. Amy was like kind of frustrating, but she was so. She was so complex, like, so well-written. That was the thing about her, that she kind of played into that. And I also think that... what do you think of Meryl Streep as the Aunt March, the grumpy Aunt March?
I'm kind of glad that she chose Amy to give her her ticket to Europe, too.
That was clever. I don't know if that was in the book or not, but that was good. And then she ended up meeting with Lori when they were in the... because he went to Europe too, and then she was in Europe because she wanted to paint more. That was very well done. I thought like Meryl Streep played her very well. Yeah. She wasn't in the movie that much. It's not a cameo, but it's a little. It's not as much as the main stars, but she has like she's in a, like a good 20 to 30 minutes probably.
Exactly. It's like it's like. Who's that one guy who starts with an S? God, in the Bang Bang Theory.
Oh, Jim Parsons?
No. The comic book store.
Oh, I can't tell you his name.
I forgot his name. I don't know why I forgot his name, but it was just like him, because he's always there. He lives in the comic book store. They see him all the time, but he's not a main character.
I know who you're talking about. Stuart.
Yeah. Stuart. Just like
he
Stuart.
There was an episode where he kind of dated Penny.
Yeah, there's a... It's Stuart. He dated Penny.
They went on a date. They didn't actually date.
Damn. Okay, that would have been fun. It was just like Stuart in terms of her role. Like, she's there. She's kind of in the background. She's always there, but they show her a good portion of the time, but not all the time.
Yeah, that's so funny. Man, this movie, I can't praise this movie enough, actually. I went in with pretty high expectations, and it delivered on them.
No, it gave me exactly the feeling I wanted, plus some unexpected anger.
Good unexpected anger.
Good unexpected anger, because it was very well done, and it was a good movie, and it was able to relate to us.
Yes. And it just shows how timeless the novel is, actually.
Exactly. It still felt like something that could happen today.
Yeah, like, you have these four sisters. Yeah, they're all very normal scenarios and good. It's so good. Final thoughts on Little Women?
Final thoughts are definitely go see it. I'm an English teacher, and I say that this time the movie... It's worth it. Go see the movie.
Yeah.
Usually I say just read the book.
I highly recommend it too. I haven't read the book. I'd probably listen to the audiobook, honestly, like driving to work one day.
It's probably not a bad idea. It's a good book. I have it at work and I'm going to read it, but it's probably flows better as an audiobook. I'm assuming, because it's so much dialogue, you know? Yeah. Dialogue flows better.
Yeah, I know what you mean. That is Little Women. Definitely go see it. Yes. We are pretty good with our movies of the year. The only one we... And we will probably do a video on... We'll go see Cats.
Yeah. I'm so excited, but it's, not for Cats, but for Taylor Swift.
Oh, man. Yeah. I mean, the movie's probably going to be terrible. Especially, I mean, it's sad because it came from the guy that directed The King's Speech. But
it looks terrible, but also it looks like I want to watch
like
it.
Like a cult classic.
Yeah.
And this is the last episode of the season.
Oh, you're right.
Because it's the end of the year.
I'm honored to be in your finale, Jake.
I know.
You're going to record it with someone else, be like, I don't like this one. Let's make it with one instead.
Oh, the revolving guests. I mean, it was Zach on the last episode.
Nice.
But next week, we'll do 2 weeks in a row, the first 2 weeks of January. We're going to do our best of the year.
And our worst.
Best and worst of the year. We'll have a lot to say. Mm-hmm. I don't even know what I'd put on there. Well, I do know what I'd put on there, but
we could have some honorable mentions too. I think that we need.
Ooh, we'll definitely do honorable mentions. Really, yeah. Important. So you will hear about that next week. It will be the start of the new season, the new old and new movie review show.
Anyway. I like how you said that. It all rhymed.
I know. I'm a poet and I didn't know it. Anyway, this is Jake signing off. Have a good night.
Night, guys.